This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
For the best Ravens coverage. What time is it? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
You know, honestly, we would have taken him a lot higher had we not taken Nate. You know, he didn't necessarily have a great 40 time. He had the big 12 pro day, so you know that might have hurt him a little bit. But you know, for us, like you're looking at him, you know, we see the length, we see the size, we see the leaping ability.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass. Coming up next at 12:15, we'll play a little buy or sell, check in on the stock market, and at 12:30, we'll be joined by Jeff Ehrman recapping that Terps win over Michigan last night and start to look ahead to Northwestern and beyond as well. But right now, getting you some news from the Nest, talking about Ravens' fourth round draft pick TJ Tampa out of Iowa State.
Now, TJ, 6'1", 189, ran 4.52, and that's what Eric was talking about. He had 32 and an eighth arms, which are long, 9 5/8 hands, which are big. He was jersey number 2. He's senior. Now in 2020, played 9 games as a reserve, had 5 tackles. 2021, 13 games, 5 starts, 18 tackles, 3 PBUs. PBUs are passes broken up. 2022, 12 starts, 40 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, an interception, 9 PBUs. Quarterback rating throwing at him, 70.7. And in 2023, 12 starts, 44 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 2 interceptions, 7 PBUs. Quarterback rating throwing at him, 54.8. Then after the season, had hamstring surgery. No combine. Did nothing at the combine. So maybe that 4.52, you know, was coming after surgery, and he wasn't in great shape yet. So hopefully, for the Ravens' sake, he runs faster than that. You know, his strength, size, length, shows good hands. Physical, will hit, smart in zone, likes to throw his body around. Long arms help with deflections. Quick read and react in zone. Good reading quarterback in zone. Good eyes in zone. Good ball awareness. Plays with passion. Uses hands and length and press. Uses hands to get off blocks well. Has good ball skills. Weakness. Time speed. Little high in pedal. Catch-up speed versus big speed. And it shows. You could see the catch-up speed versus big speed. And you saw it out at the Ravens training camp, too. Change of direction versus quick receivers. Must wrap consistently, will gamble, and take risk on the ball. In summary, TJ, he's got good height, size, build, and arm length. And he uses all those traits. We'll need more coaching to develop in man-to-man and pedal and tackling wrapping. He's a tough, physical kid, plays with passion. He's a player that may fit best with team that plays zone and use him to press. Not sure how he would hold up versus elite speed and quicks of pro receivers. That was what I thought about. And that's kind of what I saw at the training camp, too. I think he's a hell of a player just because he's so smart, so aware. I think he'll be a great guy inside because he can jam people. He's got length and he's got instincts. And he will tackle. He just needs work on wrapping. He likes to throw his body around. But that was from the games at Iowa State.
It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for Bob Haney with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass. We're getting you some news from the Nest on 105.7 The Fan. And talking about TJ Tampa right now, we know they have a need at safety. TJ can play that spot. They also have a need at corner. Which of those spots do you see him playing most at next season?
You know, I've asked Eric and stuff, too, about, you know, trying him at safety just because he's got ball skills. He's got length. He's smart. He'll tackle all those things, you know. Everything you read that they're looking at a safety for the draft. Mm-hmm. So I like him at nickel, too, Cordell. I think that's. You know, like where Marlon plays, I think that's perfect spot for him on the inside. On the outside, it would scare me a little bit with the deep receivers, with the go routes and stuff. But otherwise, I think he's a hell of a football player. He's a lot like Cooper DeJean. A lot like Cooper DeJean. You know, and the reason that Cooper DeJean was so successful was because they played him properly. They didn't play him on the outside. And they played him on the inside, and he had a hell of a year. And I think TJ Tampa, he could do those same types of things for the Ravens.
410-583-1057 is the number. Got a couple of people on hold. Let's grab a call. Let's go to Ed in Arbutus. Ed, you're on the Fan.
Cordell, Vinny, good afternoon to both you gentlemen.
Same thing.
Good breakdown on that player, Vinny.
If you're
liking him, I'm trusting you. Shared opinions on the Oriole talk from earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball is the game of logic, team defense, the basic premise to always adhere to. Never weaken two positions to satisfy one. That being said, if your best shortstop option is out, look at the other three positions foremost. And at the corners, your best glove is your wrist. At first base, it's Mountcastle. Here's where the debate enters. Who is your absolute best glove at second base? Place that guy there. The remaining infielder plays shortstop until the guy, meaning Henderson's injury, returns. You won't be full strength, but you're only slightly weaker at just one position, capably strong at all others. Batting order is the same thing. Game of logic again. Do you have a triple threat, talented leadoff man? Speed, power, pop, and drop a bunt down the third baseline to beat it out. The check mark goes to Mullins. The second hitter works the count for contact or a walk. Obviously, Rutschman. The three man, your best hitter, you want him to swing the bat in that first inning of every game. That's Henderson if he's healthy. 4-5-6, meter your order. The seven man repeats. He's a repeat guy, same as your second hitter. The eight man is a buried bumper cleanup guy in likeness to your four guy. The number nine spot, same tools as the leadoff hitter to turn the lineup over. All you got to do in the sport of baseball is stick to the obvious logic. Thank you for your courtesy, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Ed. I mean, a lot to unpack, but I feel like when you're talking about shortstop options behind Gunnar Henderson, I do still like the Ramon Urias idea. I think he and Westberg are kind of interchangeable at third base. You can't really go wrong with either of them over there. Like you said, Mountcastle's at the other corner at first base. I'm with keeping Jackson Holliday at second base just for familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I would go Urias at shortstop to keep Westberg at third base. In terms of the lineup, I mean, I can't say that you're wrong. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting Cedric Mullins to be at the leadoff spot. But the way I look at it is this. Mullins had that spot, and then they eventually changed it. Even if you go to last year, it took a while for Mullins to get going. Whereas Gunner is a guy that I feel like you could put him as the leadoff spot and leave him there. At no point in the year will we ever really have concerns or questions about should we change the leadoff guy because of something, because Gunner can't do it. I if anything, it'd be because, you know, maybe they're not getting the RBI production from some of the other guys, and now you want to push Gunner back. But I don't think we would have any conversations about, man, Gunner's struggling in that leadoff spot the way that we have about Cedric Mullins, who I love. And then ideally, yeah, I'd put him there, but I don't want to have to continuously change that spot.
Yeah, plus how well does Cedric hit lefties consistently? You know, I mean, that's one of the things also.
We got time for one more, or should we go to break? Unless we'll hit the break. We'll
hey,
get
Cordell,
the...
one thing real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about, you know, what Ed was saying, you know, and I was like, when I played like VFW baseball, Little League baseball, you did not want to play right field or bat ninth. That meant you stunk.
They're just hiding you away, just making you the ninth man on the team. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll play a little buy or sell, check in on the stock market as well. That's next here on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
1057.
Started out this way as investors seek trade fight clarity. So you kind of get the idea of what direction that the market is headed. The Dow is down 453. The S&P is down 98. The NASDAQ is down 405. DraftKings down $1.93. Under Armour's up 6 cents. They don't care about the tariffs.
Let's see here. Our sports topics. We're going to start in college basketball. Just a few days left in the regular season before the major conference tournaments begin. And as we've seen all season long, the SEC and the Big Ten, they're dominating all of the college basketball conversation. Joe Lunardi's latest bracketology has 12 teams making it from the SEC, 11 from the Big Ten, which could create some interesting crossover matchups depending on seeding. A lot will be made of the fact that the Big Ten, well, they always seem to have plenty of representation in March, but very rarely does a team or many teams from the Big Ten make it deep into the tournament. Will the SEC fall into the same boat now that they appear to be the top power conference in the sport? Cordell, buy or sell, the Big Ten will actually have more teams in the Sweet 16 than the SEC this year.
Oh. I'll sell that. I don't think very highly of the Big Ten this year. I don't think the Big Ten is that great. And I've seen people that think that the SEC is overrated. But what I do know this, I know that the SEC's best teams are better than the Big Ten's best teams. And so I'm going to take that. They have the scoring. They have the offensive teams in the SEC. The Big Ten has the defensive teams, although there are some pretty good defensive teams in the SEC as well. So I just like the top part of the SEC more. I'm going to go with them.
Latest news here in the NFL, Max Crosby and the Raiders have reached a deal on a new extension that's going to make him one of the highest paid players in the league. 3 years, $106.5 million. That moves him past Nick Bosa for the highest valued pass rusher contract and just barely past Justin Jefferson as the highest paid non-quarterback in football. What does this mean for other pass rushers or other outside linebackers out there that are looking to get paid? Thinking about Micah Parsons in particular, who's posted well over 50 sacks across his first 4 years. Not just bull rushing every down either. I mean, he kind of does it all there for the Cowboys defense. But buy or sell, Vinny, Parsons' contract will exceed Max Crosby's.
I'm definitely buying that. And Nolan, I think Jamar Chase may... If I'm Micah Parsons, I'm waiting for Chase deal to get done because I think Chase is going to get more than Crosby and probably rightfully so. And then Micah Parsons is going to try to be even higher than that.
Over to Major League Baseball, the season almost upon us. And for a team like the Orioles, the expectations from pretty much everyone are that they'll be back in the postseason mix. But what about some other teams that made a run last year that might not have as favorable of an outlook? RJ Anderson with CBS Sports has listed 5 regression candidates. 4 of them reside in the American League. Detroit was picked as number 1, maybe not a surprise given they had to go on a miracle run just to get to the playoffs. But at number 2 here for Anderson is the Royals, who he says didn't really attack the offseason in the way that he would have liked, particularly for their lineup. Are you buying or selling, Cordell, that the Royals are a top regression candidate this year?
I'll agree that they didn't do a lot this offseason, but that pitching rotation is still there, led by Cole Reagans. You still have Bobby Witt Jr., who's a top 5 player in baseball. They still have Salvador Perez, who I just absolutely love. But beyond that, it's not a lot. I'll soft buy it. Because I do agree with the overall sentiment that I don't know if they got better, but I'll say this. I don't think any of us going into last season thought the Royals were going to do what they ended up doing. So maybe they could shock the world again. I think as long as their pitching staff, for the most part, stays healthy and their best players are their best players, I think they'll be fine. But I could soft buy a somewhat of a regression.
All right, here's a fun one. Gardner Minshew. He's haunted the Ravens for the past few years, winning games for the Colts and the Raiders in trips to M&T Bank Stadium. Well, he's going to have to be with a new team next year. The Raiders just informed him that they plan to let him go and he'll enter free agency. Wherever he ends up, even if it's initially as a backup, this guy always has a way of finding his way into at least one or two, even a handful of starts when it's all said and done. And I look at the Ravens' 2025 schedule, I see four teams that could use, at the very least, a backup quarterback upgrade. Buy or sell, Vinny, Minshew will wind up facing Baltimore at some point next season.
Well, I'll buy it, you know. But I would say, you know, as you were saying all those things, I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know, backup quarterback, and he fits the qualifications for what the Ravens look for in a backup. He's played great against them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, would I be disappointed if they signed Gardner Minshew for a backup? I'd have no problem with that.
It's an upgrade.
Yeah, I'd have no problem with it. I mean, it just made me think about that when you were mentioning it, because everybody the Ravens always go get, they played good against the Ravens.
And our last topic today, the Mavericks. Their short-term plans in their trade with sending Luka Doncic to the Lakers, getting Anthony Davis in return. Well, it's completely blown up in the face. Davis played 30 minutes before he went down with a predictable injury, hasn't returned since. And then, even worse, Kyrie Irving, the season-ending ACL injury that is likely to linger into the start of next season and maybe a majority of next season. Keep in mind, just 1 year remaining on Irving's contract, it's a player option, so he'll get paid to rehab, and then they'll have to either extend him beyond that or move on. Both him and Davis will be entering their mid-30s within the next few years as well. So all of this to say, really reading here from longtime NBA writer Sam Quinn, he's wondering if the Mavs might just hit the eject button here and try to blow it up, buy or sell Cordell. Davis will not be with the Mavericks by the end of the 25-26 season.
I'll buy that. It's all the ship is already sinking. It's halfway down the ocean at this point. Kyrie's injury, like you said, is all but eliminated next year as a possibility. You now got Klay Thompson's father complaining about Klay going to Dallas and feeling left stranded now with the trade of Luka and Kyrie hurt. It's a mess in Dallas, and I think Anthony Davis is going to, and Rich Paul and those guys, I think they're going to talk to Nico at some point and like, yeah, this was a good idea, this was a good effort, but we're out of here. This is a sinking ship right now, so I do expect him to be gone. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, let's get back to talking about the Terps. Terps with a 6-point victory over the Wolverines last night in Ann Arbor. Let's bring in Jeff Ehrman from Inside Maryland Sports to talk about that and much more next here on The Fan.
The latest sports news and your place to talk about it. Always. 105.7 The Fan.
Shout out to the text line requesting some Dipset. I'm all for that. Vinny and Haney.
Who's this?
It's a group called Dipset, Diplomats, Dipset, whichever is your preference. They're broken up now. Half of them are still cool. Half of them walked out with Tank Davis on Saturday night before his draw, which was a different story in itself. But yeah, I do recognize that one. So shout out to you guys for playing something I know. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass. Joining us on the Window Nation fan guest hotline is Jeff Ehrman from Inside Maryland Sports. Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, Cordell and Vinny, how you guys doing?
Good.
Not bad, man. Appreciate your time this afternoon. Terps coming off the 6-point victory out in Ann Arbor over Michigan. So many different elements of this game to unpack. And I think we all on the show agreed Selton Miguel was the most impressive player on the court for the Terps last night. But who impressed you the most in last night's win?
Yeah, I thought he was their best player last night, most efficient. You know, early on they were struggling to score. They had, you know, 7 points in the first 7 or 8 minutes or whatever it was, and then he went on that tear, 10 points in the short span, and sparked them early. And then, you know, I thought second half Rodney Rice was really good after a rough first half. Julian Reese and Gillespie never got going, so you just had Queen and Miguel really shooting well, but that's a credit to Maryland now and their defense that they can win shooting 38% on the road against a top 20 team in the Big Ten.
Hey, Jeff, I tell you what, if I was the coach from Michigan and I saw all the turnovers and the way they turn a ball over would drive me crazy. I mean, it wasn't on some of them, you know, some of them, the Ravens, the Terps played great defense, but on some of them it was like you know, hot potato. You want to throw me the ball? Okay.
Yeah, they threw a bunch of passes straight to Maryland, especially that one stretch where Danny Wolf had, I think, three of them in a minute or two span. But, you know, Dusty May credited Maryland and Kevin Willard with that afterwards. He said their constant switching to different defenses kept them off balance. And, you know, Vlad Golden, the seven-footer, had 20 points in the game, but they mixed up the defenses and held him without a field goal during the final 9 minutes.
We're talking to Jeff Ehrman, who joins us on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Jeff, like you said, it wasn't a great night for Gillespie offensively. Wasn't a great night for Juju offensively as well. But I thought Juju, specifically him, he still was able to bring the energy on the defensive side of the court. He's still out there getting rebounds. He causes three turnovers himself with the three steals, has a couple of blocks. Just what does it say to see these guys still be able to contribute, even though it's not directly contributing to the points on the scoreboard?
Yeah, I think Juju's been amazing defensively lately the past several games. His effect, you know, it's hard to really, when a guy is struggling offensively, sometimes it's hard to notice the defense, but his defensive play has been as good as I think I've seen during his career. He, you know, they do need to probably figure out how to get him out of this little mini funk he's in. I think he has 14 points total in the past three games after, you know, a month or so of near constant double-doubles. But defensively, he's been excellent. And that was really the bigger question about them earlier in the season. You could see the offense was going to be prolific, but they didn't look quite as good defensively as a Willard team. You know, they were still top 20-ish nationally, but now you're really seeing them improve in that area as the season winds down.
Hey, Jeff, Lenardi's got them a 4 right now. What do you see their ceiling is, you know, seed-wise?
Yeah, Vinny, I think it's probably a 3. You know, the Northwestern game this weekend, regular season finale, that doesn't have a lot of juice to it, analytically speaking. And so then you need, obviously, to win some games at the Big Ten tournament. But you're probably going to get a double bye, which means, you know, you're going to have to beat better teams than you would have played playing earlier in the tournament. So, you know, long story short, there's not a ton of opportunities for upward mobility. But if they beat Northwestern, take care of business there, and go to the Big Ten tournament and win maybe 2 games, I can see them as a 3. I don't know if a 2 is reachable at this point, but I would think a 3 is.
Well, Jeff, the lack of depth for this Maryland team is always a big focal point. And Jordan Geronimo last night, I thought he gave them a lot of energy in his 16 minutes, only had the 4 points, 3 rebounds. But he played with a lot of energy, and also Deshaun Harris-Smith as well. I mean, he didn't play a lot last night, but it feels like when these guys get in, they know their role. Is there something to be said about why these guys aren't scoring off the bench? They are still contributing something, whether that's energy or defense.
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, this team does have a lot of scoring. Obviously, life is easier when you can keep scoring when you have your bench in at the same rate. But, you know, even if the bench is not as offensively capable as Maryland, you know, I think they have the lowest scoring bench in the Big Ten by a wide margin. But Geronimo's been giving them a lot of energy plays, becoming that classic, you know, fan favorite kind of athletic energy guy, veteran off the bench. The dunk he had kind of set it off for them, built some momentum, and he's, you know, consistently been making plays. And Harris Smith, you know, we know by now he's not going to be a big scorer, but if he can come in and give you good defense and rebound and make some hustle plays without making any mistakes, then, you know, you'll take that at this point.
Hey, Jeff, give me an update on, like, where the football team is going into spring ball and, you know, when does it start? And, you know, they got new coaches again, so it's starting over again.
Yeah, it starts, Vinny, in about 2 weeks. Staff, as we've discussed, has been reshuffled heavily. A lot of new faces, several guys switching from one position to another. You know, the big questions remain the same: quarterback and offensive line, and to a similar extent, secondary, which really struggled last year. So they brought in a decent number of transfers at these positions in the early transfer window, but I think coming up after spring ball, you'll see them really aggressively trying to go out and upgrade, get a couple defensive linemen. They lost a lot there and haven't added much. Maybe another receiver, and I think they need a safety still.
Jeff, with the Lady Terps, we know the women's Big Ten tournament is going on right now. Lady Terps, they got the double bye. They're awaiting their opponent that they'll take on tomorrow at 2:30. What are you expecting from them in the Big Ten tournament?
I mean, they've been playing better lately. You know, they hit that mid-season, maybe a little after mid-season funk, and had some injuries that really hurt them. But, you know, with the win against Michigan, they won a couple in a row. And, you know, you can never doubt Brenda Freeze's teams in the postseason. I think last year was the first year in nearly 20 years at Maryland, or about 20 years at Maryland, that she's lost in the first round of the NCAAs.
Jeff, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time this afternoon. How can people follow you and keep up with your work?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Jeff_ERMANN, and the website is InsideMDSports.com. We've got full Terps coverage, recruiting scoop you won't find anywhere else. So if you love Maryland sports, come check us out.
Jeff, appreciate your time, man. We'll talk again down the line.
Thanks, Jeff.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
We got time for a call. What you want to do? You want to go to break or... We've got time for one call, Nolan says. All right, let's go to Woodbury and get Joe. Joe, you're on the fan.
Hey, man, why don't you go to break? I wanted to hear the break. But anyway,
we could do just try to get you back later.
No, because what I got to say is quick. You had a caller calling about Stanley, whatever you say about Stanley, I'm going to go into it. But you got to have solidified lines. Football is all about the line. Football is rugby in a sense. The first pass wasn't attempted. Check this out. 1876, and that was illegal. I was wondering, did they make it illegal to deter you from doing it? But what I'm saying is football is all about the line. I don't care what kind of quarterback, running back, cornerbacks, whatever. If your line's not right, your team will never be right. Ask Kansas City this year. Ask about the Super Bowl they lost. Ask all those teams that lose because their line sucks. I mean, look what happened to Joe Burrow his first year. Got his leg broke because his line sucked. So I think they should keep Stanley. You can leave Rosengarten over there and just go ahead and try to solidify that defensive line. That's all I had to say. Take it easy, fellas.
Yeah, appreciate the call,
totally
Joe.
Totally agree. I mean, look at the Super Bowl champ. What'd they have? Good O-line, good D-line. Mm-hmm. And the Ravens, that's what they want. I mean, they had the number one rush defense, D-line. And the O-line, as it got better... You know, you got a 1,900-yard rusher.
And I'm old enough to remember what this Lamar Jackson-led Ravens offense looked like when their line sucked. When they had Villanueva over at tackle and Lamar's out there running for his life and not able to finish the season. Like, you start to fall into this trap of, we got Lamar, we've got Derrick Henry, we've got Zay Flowers, we don't need to continue to invest in it. No, you do, because the minute that line really hits rock bottom, it's going to start impacting those guys to the point to where they
Caleb
may not
Williams.
Be on the field.
Caleb Williams.
Exactly. And look at what the Bears are doing.
Right.
All of their moves
yeah.
have been offensive line.
Yeah,
all
a year too late.
Yeah, well, yeah. It'd be nice. They'll take it this year, though. I'm sure Ben Johnson will for sure. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, let's get back to the Orioles. We've been talking about this Orioles lineup and what it could look like this year. They lost their cleanup hitter, Anthony Santander. He's up north in Toronto. Who takes that spot in the lineup this year? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. Right now, we're talking Orioles baseball, and this lineup will look pretty different, especially if Gunnar Henderson isn't there to start the season for opening day. But all year, this will look different in the middle of the lineup because Anthony Santander is now in Toronto. They brought in Tyler O'Neill. We expect Heston Kjerstad to play a big part this year. We're expecting guys like Adley to get back to his usual self, Jordan Westberg to be healthy, hopefully, and play a full year. But who replaces Anthony Santander as that power-hitting guy? Who's their new cleanup hitter? I guess O'Neill, depending on the... I think O'Neill and Kjerstad are going to, you know, have an opportunity to kind of be in that role. I think O'Neill definitely to start because he's got that proven power at this level. Kjerstad could, but we'll see. We'll see. I don't expect him to start the year in the four hole, but I could be wrong. But
I'm guessing they don't know yet.
Yeah, they might not. I mean, they have options. I mean, those two guys are the ones that come right off the top of my head, outside of Gunner, because we've already solidified
maybe
that.
Maybe Mountie can pick it up since they moved the wall in a little bit.
Yeah.
And Jackson Holiday, you know, I mean, if he can get close to 20.
Yeah, I think O'Neal's the betting favorite right now. But again, I don't expect him to play every day. So if it's not him, then who?
Right. I think that does complicate things. And I mean, he's the natural power guy. Kerstad, the same thing. So if you think maybe if they split that time pretty evenly, then that would be a natural decision. Again, I think lefty and righty is going to have a lot to do with it as well, because, you know, we heard from Elias talking about Kerstad. He continues to hype him up and say that he's going to get all these opportunities, but was a little hesitant to say that he'll play or get those opportunities against both righties and lefties. They want to start him against strictly righties. I don't know. We bang our heads against the wall about this all the time. I mean, the kid's 26, 27 years old, and you're still hiding him from lefty pitching. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I am curious to see how it goes, because that would be ideal if you're talking about splitting time between those guys in the four hole. But yeah, I'm on record for saying I want to see these young guys be put in every situation against every type of pitcher. So yeah, that would mean some lefty on lefty matchups. See what happens. But I don't think that they have that, which is possibly an issue. They don't have the Anthony Santander of last year on this team, meaning they don't have a guy that as soon as you look at their lineup, you identify him as a bona fide cleanup hitter. I don't know if they have. I mean, we mentioned O'Neal for sure, and Gunner definitely qualifies as that. But other than them two, I think everybody else is kind of a toss up.
Well, I think one of the things you're looking for is, you know, and I think Elias has even talked about young guys taking a step up. So all of your young guys step up. You know, like same thing like with Owe. We didn't think he would go from 5 to 10, you know, and just think that, you know, if each one of those guys can add a few more home runs, and who knows, there might be one guy. Did you think Santander could hit 44 home runs? No. So who could be that guy that makes the big jump? You know, there's going to be a surprise, and who's going to be that? And that's what you got to hope, that there is one.
And an extension of that, you know, he hit the 44 home runs, but, you know, how many of those 44 seemed to come in the eighth or ninth inning when the team needed it most. That's the one aspect about losing Santander that I think could hinder the team the most. It's not the most obvious. It's not really an obvious stat that you look at on Baseball Reference, but it just seemed like he always had a way of being at the plate when this team needed it most. Didn't come through in the playoffs, but really nobody did on offense. So throughout the regular season, he always had those clutch at-bats, and that's going to be an area where somebody needs to take that mantle. And it could be anybody. It doesn't matter.
And I guess we could throw O'Hearn in there as a potential left-handed option as well. I mean, I think Mountcastle, if Mountcastle is, you know, back to his usual power-hitting self from a couple of years ago, sure. But I could see musical chairs there in the middle of the lineup, to be honest with you, especially at the start of the season. They're going to tinker. They're not afraid to do that anyway, whether it's starting in March or in July. They'll mess with the lineup every day. But I do think it's going to take some time before we get to the point to where, all right, they're settled in that 3-4-5 spot in their lineup. It could change daily.
How about if Adley plays the second half like he played the first? That gives you a few more home runs too.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, the strength of this lineup really should lie in the fact that they go nine deep. I mean, you look at other great teams out there, but they're reliant, I think, about the Yankees. I mean, how great have the Yankees been the last couple of years, going to the World Series last year? But besides Soto and Judge, at times that lineup was just completely devoid of any reliable talent. So there's teams that can win with one or two guys. The Orioles clearly have one or two guys that stand above the rest, or you hope would stand above the rest. But if their 7-8-9 hitters are better than the league average 7-8-9, I think that could be the biggest difference for them.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, let's talk some NFL, look at the NFL draft specifically with John Cooper from Our Last. He's the draft analyst over there. We'll start to pick his brain about some of the guys that could be available for the Ravens. Who are some of the sleepers in this draft as well? We'll ask him next here on The Fan.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.